Hello and welcome to another episode of Fountain City Sports Media, a podcast made by Kansas City fans for Kansas City fans. My name's Armando, a.k.a. Hot Take Mondo, and I'm joined by my friend Reese, a.k.a. the Reese Incarnate Bach Lesnar. And it is off-season, baby. We got so many transactions that have happened in the past, even like 12 hours. So Reese and I have a jam-packed episode. Sorry we weren't there last week, but it kind of makes up for itself because we have just so many free agency news for the Kansas City Chiefs. We have some three-peat worthy signings today. But before we get to all of the big signings for the Kansas City Chiefs, the reloaded Kansas City Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs trying to three-peat. Reese, what's going on? How have you been? I haven't seen you for 2 weeks. I've missed you, man.
Yo, so first off, I've missed you too. Obviously, you're my Armando, my ride or die or beyond. You know,
is there a Fast and Furious reference you can put in there? Like you and I are equivalent to blank and blank.
You're the Corona to my Dom Toretto. Yeah, our friendship's so strong, it produces so much torque, it twisted the body off the starting line.
And if somebody donates $20 right now, Reese will do the whole episode in whatever accent that is.
Yeah, that's the Dom Toretto, I am Groot, deep throat voice. Anyway, no, so the moral of the story, though, he says it's been a couple weeks. Guys, don't ever let the voice in your head tell you that procrastination is a bad thing. Because if we hadn't procrastinated on this episode, I was about to do a solo episode last night by myself because Armando's kicking it with his family. And I'm like, I got this. And I said, you know what? We'll do it tomorrow. And then in the span of me doing a solo cast tomorrow, all heck breaks loose across the NFL with like the juiciest free agent signings all period, all because we procrastinated this cast. So you are welcome.
What if you did a cast right before the Marquise Brown news? Like you had just recorded and it was just you talking about Russell Wilson going to the Steelers, and then we posted it and then we had no content on Hollywood Brown going to the Chiefs.
I would have been so mad. I would have been so mad. I feel like that's happened to us before too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think last year's Chris Jones like holdout. I think we had done an episode and then Chris Jones said that he wasn't coming back, or vice versa. It was like after the Lions game when there was a restructuring of his contract. I think we had already done an episode and we're like, screw Chris Jones, this guy's never coming back, he's gonna go to the Rams.
Well, it's funny because just another point of like how long we've been podcasting, go back and check, we have been podcasting since Brett Veach signed Chris Jones to that like huge contract for like $5 of cap space and like a pack of big league chew. It's there.
Yes, if you love this podcast, this is a reminder. We're probably at the 200 mark, or we're almost at 200 episodes. So if you go down to like episode 20 or 25, that's when you'll see the famous Brett Veach. What can Brett Veach do with $195? And then our former co-host Kyle Negg was on there, and we came up with some funny things back there. But yes, we've been doing this podcast for a while, Reese, and I think that we stand out in the Kansas City market because not only do we talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, but we also talk about Kansas City craft beer and beer all over the nation, and talk about the nature of craft beer, have some interviews on. It's really great. Reese, if people love this podcast and want to donate, how can they donate? And if they can't donate, how can they follow us on social media?
If you love this podcast, you should go check us out on Instagram at Fountain City SM. We post memes about what's going on in the NFL, memes about this podcast in general, and just memes that we like. Just for Armando's reference here, if you really like all 184 episodes of this podcast,
almost at 200,
yeah, 184, if you like that and you want to say, hey guys, thanks for doing what you do, you should check out patreon.com/FCSM. And for the price of what Brett Veach can sign Chris Jones to with cap space, that's like $2, you can become a friend of the podcast. Get access to bonus content, exclusive mini-series, including The Last Dance, Speedy and Angry, our 11-part in-depth deep dive to the Fast and Furious franchise, and also, what else was it? Season zero, the COVID podcast. And you know, Armando, maybe if we're feeling real spicy, I think I've told you this, I have a edited cut of season zero, episode zero, the OG podcast.
We should send that out to people that we're like trying to get sponsorship for. Like you've never seen a podcast like this. Check your email right now.
It's so funny because like going back and listening to it, we like rate the top quarterbacks of the time. And the list is so bad. And it's like so old.
What was it? It's Brady, Mahomes, and like, then like Dilfer, Testaverde.
So I mean it's something like that. And you know what's funny is like if we send that to someone, they'll be like, yo, this is a good podcast. It's got heat. But this third guy who's not on your cast anymore ties it all together. You got to bring him back.
You got to bring him back. Yes, because every time you'd be like, hey, what's up, you beep? And I need to beep. And then also Chris Jones, beep. And then beep.
Dude, he was speedballing on like cold meds and one light beer that day. I felt so bad for
That's
him.
Right. Oh, yeah. We also think that was like the inception of COVID, right?
It probably was, to be honest.
Because this was November or October of 2019.
Yeah.
And he got sick and then you got sick like a couple months later, mm-hmm. right before COVID had hit. And I mean, they were very similar symptoms. So it could have started on that podcast. We could have made history, man.
We made him drive down from Des Moines and sit in the 300 section of Arrowhead. It was like 0 degrees that day. I'm just like, can we kill this guy?
Oh, that's funny. That's oh funny how you gosh. Say that.
What a trooper. Like, and then we're like
had COVID. And I think also his dad was sick, which is why we had the tickets too. And we like had him abandon his family who probably had COVID at the time. Drive all the way down.
And then we're like, it's okay. We'll go get ramen afterwards. You'll be fine. Oh my goodness. Oh,
we're laughing now because he's fine. But man. Yes, in retrospect, that's pretty bad. And then also all of us being like singers and being very health conscious for us to be like, eh, you're fine, dude. Oh. And also, why don't we just make up this podcast on the spot?
I think we called it Stonking Grounds even.
Man.
Okay, if we get five patrons. If we get five patrons in the next 2 months, we will get Kyle back on the podcast for a special bonus episode, a live stream.
You heard it here first. That's equivalent. If five patrons for $2 a month, that's equivalent to $10. So even if we get one patron that wants to donate $10 a month, we will go ahead and post that episode zero and have Kyle on for the 200th episode.
Just like a TVD live commentary of it.
That'd be fun, actually. That'd be really fun.
That would. Okay.
Oh, man. But do you know what else is really fun, Reese?
What's that?
It's getting a wide receiver who is probably number two, like, ranked of all free agents in 2024. I mean, I would say, like, Mike Evans. Maybe Calvin Ridley, but Hollywood Brown was probably number two. We get him, Reese, for 1 year with a contract worth up to $11 million, including incentives. So it's looking like it's going to be 1 year, $7 million deal, which is less than the deal that Darnell Mooney just signed. And again, Darnell Mooney was wide receiver three on a really bad Bears team. And we're able to get Hollywood Brown, who is the only wide receiver to surpass 1,000 yards with Lamar Jackson. Would have had 1,300 yards if he was healthy and Kyler Murray was healthy last year. I mean, this is a really exciting guy. Reese, we have a blockbuster pickup. What is your instant reaction of the Kansas City Chiefs signing free agent wide receiver Marquise Hollywood Brown, 1 year, $7 million?
It's so funny because leading into free agency, I'm like, yo, we need more than Hollywood. I don't just want Hollywood. You know, I want someone better. He's mid. Rah, rah, rah. But with all these wide receivers going off the board, you know, like you said, Mooney's gone. Keenan Allen was there for heartbeat and he was gone. You know, Calvin Ridley was there and gone. I'm just like, are we going to actually make a move and actually get anybody? I'm a little nervous here. And you know what? In the 11th hour, we pick up Hollywood and suddenly, when that happens and you're just relieved to get somebody, you see all that he can do. And you're like, you know what? No, he's not just another shifty small body guy. It's like, yeah, he's not too dissimilar from Zay Flowers in terms of how he plays. Zay might be a little bit better, but dude, I saw a statistic. It's like last year, MVS had a drop rate of 7%. Kadarius Toney had a drop rate of 13%.
Oof.
Dude, Hollywood's only got a drop rate of 4%, which while is still about league average, it's like, dude, someone that can hold on to the ball 50% better than Marquez Valdez-Scantling is going to be so huge. So huge. So I welcome the deal.
And also, let's put some context to that 4%. You got early year Lamar Jackson throwing you the ball, and we all know that Lamar Jackson was not Lamar Jackson year one. I mean, he was pretty good, but he wasn't like on the dart, incredibly accurate. He had maybe one healthy season with Kyler Murray. So juxtaposing that, he had Joshua Dobbs. He had Josh McCown. He had Colt McCoy. So you have to factor in all that stuff as well. You can't really compare apples and apples when you have Patrick Mahomes, one of the most accurate quarterbacks, throwing to Kadarius Toney, who's just dropping the ball. So I think that 4% really comes down to maybe 2% is my personal opinion. But yeah, my reaction to Hollywood Brown, Reese, I've been calling this since like 3 weeks ago. I was like, Reese, I think it's looking like we're going to sign Hollywood Brown. And I assuming that we were going to sign him for like one year, $17 million. Because once Mike Edwards got off the board for, I think it was like 2 for $50, averaging about $25 million a year, I was like, there's no way in hell that Calvin Ridley, Hollywood Brown, and like Keenan Allen are going to go for anything less than 25, that they're probably going to be in that range. And then we see Cal Ridley get signed for, I think, about $20 million a year. We see, we also see who else, I forget who else, but all these like premier guys were going for almost north of 17, about $20 million. For us to get Hollywood Brown for $7 million on a prove it year, I mean, Reese, this is, like, it's already great for us to have Hollywood Brown, and I'll talk about the specifics why, but to get him also on a cheap deal, those two things to happen is monumental for the Kansas City Chiefs to three-peat. I am so excited. I'm so shocked. I'm so shocked that we got him one and got him for so cheap.
Yeah, to me, it feels a lot like the Juju deal with a little bit extra meat on the bone, because I think what was Juju's? It was like a $1.2 million with incentives to get up to like 4 or something like that.
Oh, never mind. I'm way off.
it was super small. I remember it. And like, that's kind of what we did with Hollywood.
Oh, sorry. 15 is what he ended up getting probably with the Patriots.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he got like 15 over 2 years, 2 years, 15 per or something.
Yeah.
But no, I'm happy that we didn't do another MVS trade where it's like, hey, we're going to dump, you know, $12 million a year at you for 3 years. Because after seeing what Curtis Samuel went for, which I think was 3 for 33 to Buffalo or something like that.
Yeah, I'm about 11 to 13 a year.
I thought we're going to have to sign Hollywood probably to like 14, $15 million a year for at least 2 years.
Yep.
And that was a little nerve-wracking to me, but at least now we do have a veteran wide receiver with some skills on this team, which I think just like the entire theme of this next year just needs to be like raise the floor. And having him on this wide receiver core right now raises the floor from where it was with Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore as your 3 and 4.
Yeah, a lot of people are comparing Hollywood Brown to a similar skill set to Tyreek Hill. And I think some people, and I don't think he's Tyreek Hill, but if you consider, like, Tyreek Hill never had a really good wide receiver too. And Patrick Mahomes has never really had two solid wide receivers. I'm not saying both are elite, but both are like Pro Bowl worthy or Pro Bowl-esque. And Patrick Mahomes has only had one of those guys, right? Of course, we always had Travis Kelce, but Tyreek Hill never had another guy with him. This is the first time, Reese, that Patrick Mahomes has two dudes that can get their own, right? Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown can blow the top off, and Rashee Rice can play a lot in the middle and like in zone two and kind of figure things out, just kind of what we've seen last year. And for that to happen, and then also have Travis Kelce in the mix, and also can get his own, this may be an offense we've never seen before, Reese. because with the Tyreek Hill offense, like in the beginning of the Patrick Mahomes era, people had no idea what to do with us, right? Like he was blowing off the top, and then people start to figure out how to contain the top with the cover two shell. But now you got guys that can do both. You got Marquise Brown that can blow the top off, but then you also got Rashee Rice that can be, you know, shallow in the slant and can also figure it out and break a tackle. So now you got those two threats, and then you got Kelce finding space in between all three of those guys. Reese, this may be one of the most exciting offenses in the Patrick Mahomes era. Book it.
Man, that's a hot take. Come from Hot Take Mondo, so I should expect nothing less. No, I like where you're going with that, too. I don't like when anybody ever says, you know, compares him to Tyreek Hill, because I really do believe...
One of a kind.
Yeah, he's one of one. We've never seen someone... We've seen same with who's the guy that ran the 4.21 at the combine? Xavier Worthy, was it?
Xavier Worthy. Yeah.
It's like, yes, we have seen maybe someone that can technically run like a 0.3%, you know, faster 40 time than Tyreek. We've seen speedsters. We've seen track speedsters in a straight line. Mecole Hardman was one of those dudes, but we've never John seen Ross. Someone that can like cut and play football at speed the way they would not wearing pads. He's 1-on-1. But to your point, I think he's a great compliment to Rashee Rice, because what I was thinking about in the car, actually driving home, stuck in traffic on the freeway, is that I don't think I'm as high on Rashee Rice as a lot of other Chiefs fans seem to be. Chiefs fans are like, he's a wide receiver one. He's like a future star running around. I'm like, no, I think he has room to grow yet, but I think his ceiling is going to be like a Brandon Ayuk level guy like we saw last year.
Okay.
But if we have an offense that has a Brandon Ayuk level guy, which I think Rashee is, and then you have kind of like your wide receiver two be this kind of Swiss Army knife, can do a lot of things, speedy guy like Debo or, in our case, Hollywood Brown, I like that wide receiver one and two, especially when you pair it with one of the best three tight ends in the game. So like you said, this already is shaping up to be a much more dynamic offense than we've had the last 2 years, last year in particular. So I really like the signing of Hollywood Brown.
Excellent. Now, Reese, this kind of segues into another point on offense. So now that we have Marquise Hollywood Brown, you and I were talking about the draft, and we've done a little pre-draft talk and saying that we really need to land our guy in the first round, because before it was just Rashee, right? Maybe we thought that we were going to get Mike Evans. Well, actually, no, Mike was signed by then. So we're like, we got to nail our guy in round one. Reese, with the signing of Marquise Brown, do we got to nail our guy in round one, or can we just wait for whoever drops?
We got to nail our guy in round one.
Ooh.
I still think that. I think, again, the floor has been raised, but I think it's a temporary solution, particularly since we only signed him for a one-year deal. I don't want to go into next year with only one good wide receiver again going into the offseason. And we've seen in the past, one thing Brett Veach has not shown that he's good at yet, and he's been here for quite a while, is drafting offensive talent. I would say so far the one good piece he has intentionally, well, maybe not even intentionally, got was Rashee Rice. And even then, I think
Pacheco.
I think he took a flyer on Pacheco. I don't think he said, I'm going to get that running back from Rutgers in the 7th round. That's my goal.
I
think
he's
just like, yeah. And even then, I think Rashee Rice was a bit of luck, because it was kind of that Sky Moore, Mecole Hardman formula that he's done in the past, where it's like, well, I'm going to see who's kind of the best player available at that position mid-second round, and then, you know, maybe wiggle up or down a little bit to get him. No, I think this year, especially with the draft being as loaded as it is, and us having the 32nd pick, and us really not needing a whole bunch in the draft right now, I would love to see them package something to move up and get one of these three guys. Okay, you ready?
Let's hear him.
In no particular order, I would love to see Brian Thomas Jr.,
ooh,
Keon Coleman, or Adonai Mitchell.
Okay.
I think they are three big body wide receivers, all clocking in at least 6'4", 200. It would give us a little bit of thunder to go with the lightning that is Marquise Brown as a speedster. Rashee Rice is kind of like, you know, the guy out the slot, mid-size dude. And also, I think this is someone you can pair with Rice going down the road that still complements his skill set. I'm going to give a quick shout out as a wild card. If there is one guy they sit on, I want it to be McStonky, because I think he could be sneaky good.
Now, Reese, I have one follow-up question. If I can guarantee you Keon Coleman drops to us, do you still want to try to move up for the other two guys, or are you kind of safe with Keon Coleman at 31?
As long as one of those three guys are there, I will be happy to pick one of them up. I don't want Troy Franklin, since I think he's all flash and a bunch of drops, and we don't need that. I think he's like luxury MVS. But no, so long as we can nab one of those three, what I don't want to see is us going after Xavier Worthy again, because it's like, he's so frail. He's 165. Again, he's speedy, but there's always speed defined in the NFL. There's always speed defined. And again, I don't trust 40 times.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I'll talk about Xavier Worthy and then we'll go from there. Yeah, Xavier Worthy, I like Xavier Worthy because if you watch him on tape, he doesn't play his size. Like, he actually plays pretty big. He still is breaking tackles. Whereas a guy like John Ross, so people have been comparing him to John Ross because John Ross, I guess his 40 time was like 4.25 or something. And Everyone's saying, well, he's just another John Ross. But if you go back to John Ross's tape, I forget where he was in Cincinnati or something. He didn't have it, right? Like, he wasn't breaking tackles. He wasn't blowing by guys. He wasn't a route runner. Where Xavier Worthy actually does all those things. So I won't compare him as like just a speedster. I think he does have a lot of skills to him, but it is risky drafting a guy at 165. I forget who I was listening to, but there's also like never been a good wide receiver at even 170. And they were like going through all these scenarios, like even Tyreek Hill, like Tyreek Hill's like 185, like Tyreek Hill's like approaching 190 built, you know?
Yeah. Like you say, he's built like a brick house, you know?
Right. Right. So there's that guy. I will say, Reese, that I don't think Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be available to us. I think he's really going up the ranks, maybe like wide receiver four at this point. Adonai Mitchell might fall to us, which would be nice. I like him a little better than Keon Coleman. But the original question that I said was, can we just like wait for somebody? Is I think Keon is the type of guy that we can wait for. I don't know if Keon, if it was just Rashee Rice, I don't want to just draft Keon because, again, if we're trying to three-peat, Coleman and Rice is not the duo to three-peat, right? Mm-hmm. But now that we have Hollywood Brown, now that we have Rashee Rice, two guys that are formidable, and like, you know, Rashee Rice basically a veteran at this point, now we can take a flyer on a guy like Keon Coleman, who has shown streaks of a Mike Evans, shown streaks of like, you know, a big time wide receivers. He just wasn't very consistent last year, which is why he's been falling down the boards. But for a time in the beginning of last year, if you go to like Mel Kiper's list, you know, pre-draft, after you go to all these other people's lists, it was Marvin Harrison Jr. and Keon Coleman too going into last year. So again, the drop off was very significant for some people, but if Brett Veach has his eyes on the film from 2022 and sees this guy go up and get it, I love Keon Coleman. Now that Marquise Brown is here, we get a little bit of a project. He doesn't have to show up on week one, right? Keon can mature into the Patrick Mahomes system, go down to White House, Texas, and, you know, have some barbecue with Patrick Mahomes and figure this crap out. He has like 6 weeks to figure out, just like Rashee Rice. Like, we saw moments of Rashee, but Rashee didn't become wide receiver one until like, you know, week 7 or 8, where he was really solidified as the guy. Keon Coleman, we can wait that long. And then, like you said, we get a guy like Keon, matures like week 8, week 9. Then we can let go of a guy like Marquise Brown next year. And then we got Rashee and Keon. So that's like the perfect situation for me. I love Ladd McConkey, but again, do I want McConkey and do I want Rice without Brown in 2025, right? We still need that power forward 6 foot plus guy, and McConkey's not that guy. McConkey's great. Like, again, he has hands like a MF-er, right? But again, we got Marquise Brown, we got Rashee Rice, who are really good with catchability. I don't think we necessarily need a guy like McConkey anymore. It'd be nice to take a project like Keon, and then he becomes the next Megatron.
Yeah, dude, mega, there's a joke there, Megatron. Yeah.
What? No, it's been a long week.
Last thing I would say, though, is the one I do not want to touch by any stretch is Javon Baker. Which, unfortunately,
Javon Baker, who's that?
He's 6'1", 208. He's from Central Florida.
I'm gonna use your a Snoop Dogg meme on you. Who?
Who? Yeah. So I'm pretty sure he's declared for the draft. But no, what worries me about him is that he's another dude that just screams Veach and Andy, where it's like, hi, I'm receiver from small school that is 6'1" and does nothing special. And it's like, great. Yeah, please get me more, you know, DeMarcus Robinson type guys on this team. That's exactly what I want. So long as they don't move up to get him, so long as they don't get Franklin, I'll be pretty pleased.
Yeah. Well, it's a good day to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I can't believe that we have Marquise Brown. It gives us some wiggle room to go into the draft. And that's kind of a Veach special, right? That's Veach, to go into the draft and not really have any needs. And now we're going to talk about Snead and kind of what's the future there for the cornerback situation. But there's basically not a lot of huge needs, which is, you know, kind of what Brett Veach likes. So stay tuned for some more content there. Reese, why don't we take a break and then we'll talk about some Chris Jones updates, and then we'll also talk about Snead, and then maybe we'll dunk on some AFC West content, because Reese, I'm loving what the Broncos are doing. I'm loving what the Chargers are doing, and I'm loving what the Raiders are doing. Stay tuned. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are back from a quick break. We talked about Marquise Hollywood Brown coming to the Kansas City Chiefs and some potential wide receivers in the NFL draft. Let's talk about some other Veach specials, some Veach magistry, some magic of Veach, and that is the signing of Chris Jones. Chris Jones signs to a 5-year, $158.75 million deal with $101 million in guarantees. Good Lord. This edges out a recent retiree, Aaron Donald, to become the highest NFL paid defensive tackle. So this is great, Reese. We get our guy, Chris Jones. He's basically going to be here for life. And I forget what we have him on the books for this year, but it's looking like $7 or $8 million on the books for 2024. Again, another, I don't know how the cap works and how all this stuff works, but again, leaves us room. This Hollywood Brown move leaves us room, and maybe we'll talk about that a little later. But reaction for Chris Jones being a Kansas City Chiefs for life.
You know, I've been on the fence with Chris Jones, and I've been on the podcast saying I've been as much on the fence with Chris Jones. I do think he has a penchant to disappear for stretches of times. I think he has a penchant to sandbag some things. But I would be absolutely lying if I didn't say he did not come through in clutch moments in all three of our Super Bowl runs. It's easy to point to. I think the reason he doesn't get sacks in the playoffs is that he faces more double teams, but that doesn't stop him from being disruptive. We've broken down all the balls he batted down in the first Niners Super Bowl. We broke down the monster game he had against the Bengals last year, which sealed our trip to the Super Bowl. And we pointed out the different plays that he rushed Brock Purdy, where he literally took touchdowns off the board. I think the other thing to note with Chris Jones is that we're not just paying him money to keep him on the team and do stuff for us. We paid him that money to keep him off of other teams, because there were plenty of reports circling around that I think it was like the Raiders, the Jaguars, and I think there was one other squad were basically ready.
Even the Bengals, too.
I'm sure Bengals would, too, but I think those first few squads in particular were basically ready to write him a blank check and say, you know, whatever you want, come here. So he's still probably left 10, 20, 30 million on the table by signing with us before free agency. So the last thing I said about Chris Jones before this contract was signed was that this deal would get done if Chris Jones wanted it to get done. Hats off to Chris Jones, with absolutely no credit to his agents. Chris Jones wanted this deal to get done. He meant what he said about wanting to stay in Kansas City. And I think this is probably what a team-friendly discount looks like for Chris Jones.
Yeah, I've been seeing a meme circulate around Twitter, and I'm going to use it, Reese. We got there was a picture of Mahomes, Kelsey, and Jones, and then just below it was Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman. Reese, if we're going to three-peat and this becomes a dynasty, even Michael Jordan needs his Dennis Rodman. Even he needs that third guy, the piece of the puzzle that brings people together. And particularly on defense, right? If we lose Snead, we need that locker room leader, that guy that's going to make plays, that guy that's going to help Karloftis, right? That guy's going to help the guys buying him, Nandi. And I think Dan is back, too. I forget who else is back. But basically, that whole defensive line is back, and it's all predicated on Chris Jones, Reese. We got our Dennis Rodman. We got that third piece that creates the dynasty, right? I don't know if we can compare the Patriots. Who would the third piece be? If it's Brady, Gronk, I don't know, Vinatieri.
Yeah, probably Vinatieri, to be honest. He won in the first three Super Bowls.
It's true. That's true. We can do another pod doing that. But anyway, Reese, every dynasty has three guys, right? Steph Curry, Clay, Draymond Green. You need that third guy. So although we paid him a lot of money, like you said, you know, maybe he might not produce to it. But again, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond his production. He is a locker room leader. He's the guy that gets everybody pumped up. And for practical reasons, like I said, it really gets the guys around him. If he's double teamed, right, then you got guys like Karloftis that can get his, and then guys like Nandi, like I said. So this is a great signing. I'm so happy that Chris Jones is going to be here for life, and I'm happy it got done in the offseason. Imagine another holdout again, Reese. That would really crush the souls of Kansas City and crush the souls of that defense, particularly if, you know, Snead's not out there anymore. So it's great that we got it done now, because again, people are going to be coming for us. They're out for blood week 1, so we got to be ready to roll, and we have to be on our A game, and having Chris Jones there, man, perfect.
I think another important thing that you kind of alluded to as well is that we're probably going to lose L'Jarius Sneed after this year if we don't trade him before. More on that later. But if we do lose L'Jarius Sneed this year or next, is he better than Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, and Nazi Johnson.
There you go.
Yes, Snead is probably better than all three of those guys. I'd be shocked if he wasn't. But if you put one of them out there, our secondary is not as locked down, but it's still solid. Sure. If you take Chris Jones out of the equation of this defensive line, especially with Charles Omenihu, who's going to be out basically all next year,
yeah,
is Karloftis as effective with Chris Jones not there to draw double teams? Is Felix Anudike Uzama going to develop on the edge, or whoever else we put on the edge?
Nope.
No. So you take Chris Jones out of the equation, suddenly our defensive line isn't just not quite as good, it's a liability.
Yeah, so go ahead.
No, I say I totally understand signing him for the money we did.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, because even if Snead isn't there, right, at least we have Trent McDuffie to have the reins in the secondary. And then also like Justin Reed, right? Justin Reed's really great out there. I don't know if Mike Edwards is coming back, but again, it's a pretty solid secondary that we can get away with it. But like you said, can Karloftis make a play in the playoffs by himself? Probably not, right? He needs a guy like Chris Jones. So really good to shore up that defensive line with Chris Jones there, man. I'm so excited. Reese, let's go on. Similarly, so now we got Chris Jones, and he's putting like a $8 million cap on us, or a cap hit, sorry. Then we got Hollywood Brown. We got our wide receiver at another, $7 million hit. That leaves money for a Snead tag. Reese, It is day 4 of free agency, and I've said this on the chat. I don't think I've said on the pod, but I took this from Adam Scheffner, actually. Adam says, the most important thing in free agency is to get signed day 1, because if you don't get signed the first day, your value drops dramatically. And now it's day 4. Again, if you wait till 4 days, your value is no longer what you said it was. So if Snead is going out there asking for day 1 prices and no one's signing him, that value is now decrease, 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 decrease. If Snead doesn't get the offer that he wants, Reese, does Snead come back this year? Do we do a franchise tag for another prove it year?
I think it's very possible. I think in this situation, it's not looking unlikely that we let Snead come back, try for the three-peat, and then we let him walk, and we probably get what will equate to like a third-round comp pick. I think that's fine. I think we can get more than a third-round comp pick for Snead if we trade him. Now, I've seen this from multiple different accounts in about the last 12 hours, something to this degree. So this is from Stephen Holder on Twitter. He said, let's put it this way. I was told in Snead negotiations, the Chiefs are being reasonable. The bigger question is whether anyone can come to terms with Snead on a contract. I saw another one. It was Rappaport or one of those type of guys who said, apparently, like, we basically have a deal done with the Colts. But Snead is holding that up again with his asking price. So I'm really hoping that doesn't fall apart, because I don't think Snead is imperative to winning a third, with our making the assumption that our offense takes a step forward than it was last year. I think last year when we were entirely defense reliant, yes, you needed every last piece you could get. But if this offense is going to take a good step forward with Hollywood Brown, with a first round stud wide receiver, a year two Rashee Rice, I think we can win games without having to have him punch out a ball on the goal line to keep the other team from getting to 14 points. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fair. But if you look at, like, I'm looking at it as just like bare bones. So right now, let's simulate this. The Colts are offering a high two, right? A second round pick. But if we keep him and he goes elsewhere next year, that means it could be, like you said, a third or even a fourth round pick. Let's say that scenario. Would you rather have almost, maybe not guaranteed, let's knock on wood, but a pretty good freaking chance to three-peat, sacrificing a second round pick, or kind of rolling the dice on the secondary and getting the second? What sounds better to you?
Can I give you an option C?
If it suits your argument, no.
Well, so it's kind
no, I'm
of
just kidding. Give me option C.
Well, so it's kind of saying, you know, the same thing you're saying in a different way. So instead of, like, talking about getting a second round pick for Snead, friend of the podcast Andrew Kelly pitched this, and I think it's likely, and it's what I'm holding out for, is that Snead for like a third and a fifth. The whole tomato thing is, I would assume we use that hypothetical second round pick for Snead or a third and a fifth, if we got that in a deal, to make a move in the draft that gets us one of these good wide receivers.
I see.
So what I'm saying is, regardless of what the package is, so long as they're picks we can use to move up and be aggressive to get someone good in the first round at wide receiver, I think I would rather do that and think we still have a solid chance to three-peat then bring Snead back and let him walk for a third next year.
I see your logic. I just don't know if Brett Veach will move up to get a guy, especially with the wide receiver group as deep. But again, we didn't think that he would ever move up for McDuffie. So there could be a possibility where someone does drop, and it's likely that someone really good is going to drop, because we've been talking about in the chat, there might be four quarterbacks that go off the board in the first four picks. Like, it's getting weird out there in quarterback land. I'm great. We don't need a quarterback. But in saying so, some of these guys that are really top 10 picks are going to drop to 25, drop to 26, where realistically Brett can package that first pick and that second from the Colts or whatever. So I do see what you're saying. I just don't know how likely it is that Veach would pull that type of maneuver. I would much rather have Snead, because again, I'm not convinced that McDuffie can lock down every single week a Davante Adams. I don't know who else is good in the league anymore. Mike Evans, you know, all these elite receivers. Like you said, we might not necessarily have to, but it would be nice to lock those guys down every time. And if that means, you know, we bring Snead back and we get a fourth for him, a fifth for him next year, so be it, because then I'm doing one of these guys. I got three rings on me that I'm going to buy from DHgate, $20 a piece, baby.
Dude, I'll take a DHgate ring. So what's interesting then that I think I just discovered in this chat is that I think I might be higher on Trent McDuffie. Not necessarily saying he's better than Legarius Snead, but I do think Trent McDuffie's good enough to lock down guys. Maybe not to the degree of no touchdowns allowed all season.
Sure.
I think Snead's more physical game and skill set harkens better to locking down dudes in the red zone, like we saw with Calvin Ridley in week two, than Trent McDuffie does.
Right.
So I get what you're saying on that. And that is part of what makes Snead a unicorn, is that he's that converted safety with the big body, the physicality, and the long arms.
And honestly, I'd I just have some trauma from the Super Bowl with the Eagles and AJ Brown having his absolute way with Trent McDuffie. But again, no, Trent's great. And I know if he plays cornerback one and plays the elite guys, I know he's going to be really good. But I'm just saying, like, last year was just so special. I would love to have, if we had that defense back and Marquise Brown and a wide and a round one wide receiver, it's just like, who, you know, knock on wood, barring injury, who's going to stop that? It's crazy, Reese. You know who's not going to stop any of that, Reese?
Who?
The AFC West.
Womp, womp.
They spent all this money trying to reload their teams 3-4 years ago, right? We got the Broncos going all in for Russ. We got the Chargers going all in, putting all these weapons around the around Herbert, and getting all these veterans on defense, making what was supposed to be this elite defense. You got the Raiders going in, getting Davante Adams, the best wide receiver in the NFL. And Reese, what happens? Russell Wilson goes to Pittsburgh. Chargers lose all their defensive weapons and lose all their offensive weapons. The Raiders lose Josh Jacobs, lose Hunter Renfrow, and right now they're rolling with Aiden O'Connell under center. Reese, what? Let's just roast the AFC West right now for them to go all in, and now they have to reap the benefits of what they sowed. Reese, how awesome is it to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan and to be in the AFC West right now?
I mean, it feels pretty good, and I think we were worried about it a few years ago, which I think is fair.
Oh yeah,
we had never seen a talent and coaching rush to one division the way we did that off season. I mean, everybody had cap space. Well, maybe didn't have cap space, but we're bringing in the biggest, baddest free agents they could. And Russ was getting brought in, and Justin Herbert got some massive contract, and Khalil Mack on this team now, and it was insane. But what we kept saying was, they better make this work in the next year or two, because if not, these checks are going to become due, and it's going to look real bad. And just as we saw this year, the Chargers were like, what was it? Something like $115 million over the cap prior to the start of free agency. Yeah. And after unloading some dudes, they were still like $45 million over the cap and had like 3 or 4 dudes making over $30 million this year. This is some John Dorsey stuff. This is why he got fired and ran out of town, man.
Yeah, it's going to be wild to see. I mean, it's already wild to see the effects of what happened 2 years ago. But imagine in 2 or 3 years now, will Sean Payton still be in Denver? What will John Harbaugh have at quarterback in the next few years, right, when Herbert's contract goes up? What's going to happen with the Raiders? Who's going to play quarterback there? They move to Vegas. They get Josh McDaniels. They get Davante Adams. Like, what happens to the Raiders franchise in the next couple of years? Meanwhile, you got Patrick Mahomes that, knock on wood, is going to be here for a decade. We have maybe 3 years left of Kelsey, good 3 years. And we got a 5-year contract with Chris Jones. I mean, things are looking really great for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I love all the things that are happening to the AFC West, because now Herbert's going to be passing it to Quinston Johnston. You got, at best case with the Broncos, J.J. McCarthy's going to pass it to Cortland Sutton. And then you got the Raiders that, I don't know, Bo Nix is going to be throwing the ball, and Zamir White is going to be, you know, running the ball. I mean, Reese, it's looking really good for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, it's hopeful. The only scary thing now is, like, both teams, since they've, like, purged and pruned the tree, now have a chance to rebuild properly. And, dude, Harbaugh's
not the Broncos. I mean, they have, what is it, 2 years of dead money for $120 million.
Broncos wandering in the desert for the next 3 or 4 years probably. They got to atone for their sins here. But, you know, the Raiders, I think they have a solid head coach. I haven't seen enough to say this is like, oh, we got to watch out for him as a head coach, because yeah, he beat
us. Jordan rules.
I mean, well, yeah, Jordan rules. And we joked, but it's like, yo, dude, you're not gonna be able to Big Ten West us every time we play. Like, that was an absolute fluke of a game. And then, you know, the Chargers, Harbaugh is proven, but he hasn't been in the NFL for at least, what, 10 years now? And everything is, think of all that's changed so much in the last 10 years. And is he going to be, I feel like he's gotten crazier even since when he got kicked out from the Niners. And like, we know for a fact, these NFL teams don't like these big, crazy, you know, wacky personality head coach guys. Right. But oh boy, we joked earlier, man, if he trades Herbert and brings in McCarthy, his tenure's over. His tenure's immediately over.
I was looking at on Twitter, someone had done one of those PFF mock drafts, and they're like, all right, I saw the Chargers draft board, and it was all like Michigan guys. It was McCarthy, it was Corum, it was all these guys. I mean, it's so funny, man, because it's looking like it's going to be that way. Like it looks like, you know, he's going to have to go out and get a wide receiver, but he also wants Brock Bowers now. He wants a big tough guy because he wants to ground and pound on the ground. They also need an offensive line. Like they need a guy like Joe Alt. So then if they get Joe Alt in the first round, they don't have a big wide receiver, right? They have to go with Quinston Johnson. He's probably going to try to wait for Blake Corum, or he might move up to get his guy Blake Corum in the second round. Dude, I mean, there's a lot of weird scenarios for Harbaugh in Los Angeles. But yeah, man, I kind of feel bad for Herbert, because again, I've been like on the Herbert train for years, because every time I see him, I'm like, this dude can play, like he is really good. Mm-hmm. But it just, he doesn't have a good core around him, and it seems like Harbaugh should have kept one guy. Harbaugh should have kept Keenan Allen or Mike Williams or his tight end, I think Gerald Everett. Right. Let's all of them go, and let's Austin Eckler go. I know, you know, Austin Eckler's going up in years, but again, he signed a pretty friendly deal to the Washington Commanders, something pretty easy for him to fix. And he just let all that go and says, all right, Herbert, you thought it was hard last year. Guess what? Quinston Johnston and maybe a wide receiver I'm going to get in the third round. Whoever you said, Javon Carter, whoever you said.
Yeah, right. Well,
anyway, Reese, it's looking great for the Kansas City Chiefs, and rip to all the other teams in the AFC West.
I will say, now it's up to the Cardinals to get Marvin Harrison Jr., because I don't like the idea of Harbaugh getting Herbert and Marvin Harrison Jr., and who knows, maybe even like making another some sort of pick move and getting Brock Bowers in there as well. Then you got a problem, because Herbert's only 26. Sure. But as it is right now...
Only 26? Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know if he's 26
or... Isn't Bo Nix like 25?
Dude, Bo Nix is like... Who's older? Bo Nix or... who's the scrub-a-dub from Georgia last year that we all hated? What was his name?
Stenson Bennett.
Stenson Bennett. It's like, yeah, I wonder who's older. Anyway.
We're like, Spencer Rattler's probably 27 at this point.
Yeah, dude, Spencer Rattler was playing during COVID year. It's like, come on, dude, graduate. No, I think it's interesting. Like you said, Herbert now has essentially a bare cupboard, and he's going to be asked to like relearn the quarterback position at 26 with who has turned out to be a decent quarterback whisperer. I mean, Andrew Luck was great at Stanford. He got a lot out of Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick at San Francisco. So he could groom quarterbacks 10 years ago.
Right.
His problem at Michigan, and I include McCarthy in this, is that he never had a good passer at Michigan. McCarthy was like...
That's why he just ground and pound.
Yeah, ground and pound, roll out to the right and pass the sidelines. I don't know how his vertical passing game looks. So...
Who, McCarthy?
McCarthy, yeah. McCarthy
zero.
Or Herbert. Or Harbaugh.
Yeah, no, I watched, I've watched a lot of McCarthy, and I've also watched, I watched the whole combine as well. Incredibly accurate. He was probably the most accurate thrower when it comes to like, you know, 5 yard dart, a 10 yard dart, but probably the worst when it came to those 20 yard passes, like the worst out of the five guys that were there. And there was some random dude from Notre Dame. I forget his name.
The guy with the
long locks.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. He's got like the black hole, black level hair, right? He looks like Prince Eric from Little Mermaid with long hair.
Yeah, exactly. And but he was better. He was better than JJ McCarthy when it came to like throwing out the numbers and like 15, 20 yards.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think McCarthy reminds you of kind of like a bigger, more athletic version of like Zach Wilson, if we're being honest.
Sure. Well, but Zach Wilson can throw. Like Zach Wilson was throwing 40-yard bombs in shorts, where like JJ can only throw like a 30-yard bomb.
Yeah, wait, hold on, JJ. Is that a Nerf Vortex? You can't be throwing those, man. Come on, get a real football.
Yeah, there it is.
Yep.
That's funny. All right, Reese, anything else to end the pod? I think this has been a pretty nice, almost an hour pod on some fun topics.
Yeah, I would say I would, you know, just a couple big signings we haven't touched down on really quick. We have mention Keenan Allen, sure. One of those cap casualties from the Chargers to the Bears for a fourth round pick. Bears offense could look good next year, potentially. They're getting some players. Yeah.
Yo, so, I know we have some NFC North fans listening to this podcast. Beware, NFC North, because I'm telling you, if Caleb Williams is 60% as good as what people say he is, he can work with DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, Keenan Allen, and I think they also got another guy. Didn't they get like Ray McCloud or no, that was the Falcons.
And they got Cole Kmart, don't they?
Cole Kmart, but they also got another tight end as well. Like, they have a two tight end set. Speaking of which, we also have a two tight end set now, but we can talk about that later.
Yeah, Irv Smith another day. The other big one, we heard it was possible, but it wound up happening, was Derrick Henry to the Ravens.
That's scary.
That is a little scary. He's a bigger, stronger version of the Gus Bus, but who knows how much tread he has left on his tires, dude. It's like, he's approaching 30, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's getting up there, and his production went down. In fact, Tyjae Spears, who's on my dynasty team, he was starting to get 50-50 snaps with Derrick Henry. And I think it was both like the offensive coordinator and Derrick Henry's age. So I think he still has some juice. But again, even if he has like 40% juice, you have Lamar Jackson by your side. Imagine them doing the freaking option, like Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry playing the option like that. That's scary. So I think that the Ravens have gotten a lot better. I don't trust Todd Monken, though. I had made a joke in our chat and said, oh man, I can't wait till Todd Monken doesn't use Derrick Henry in the playoffs against the Chiefs. But hopefully he's learned from his lesson. So I am a little afraid of the Ravens now, because man, with both of them running at the same time, I would like, if I'm a linebacker, what do I do? Do I take Jackson? I don't know, man. I'm scared.
More like, what do I do? Got to talk about Drew Tranquil real quick. Signed with us for 3 years. Yep. Very happy he's back.
Yeah, no, really happy he's back. And we saw when Willie Gay was out, Drew Tranquil was able to come right back in. And something that, oh boy. Sorry. Let me 3-2-1 this. Spags. Wow. I forgot Spags' name. That was bad. That was really bad. 3-2-1. Something that Spags said on a different podcast. I think it was with Peter Schrager. He said that something really special with this defense, particularly people like Drew Tranquil, that they're really smart guys. Like not only is this an athletic group, but this is a very cerebral group. Like, this is a group that is has really high football intelligence. And he said that he hasn't seen that even with his like Giants teams that beat Tom Brady. So this is a really, really special group. And he actually singled out Drew Tranquil and being one of these like really smart guys. So he's going to plug and play really well. We got him on a pretty nice deal, I think, Reese. So having Drew Tranquil, Nick Bolton, I'm feeling really good about this lineback group. Also, Leal Chenault is able to get more snaps now with Willie Gay not there. I think Willie Gay went to the Saints.
Rip
Willie Gay. But yeah, man, really excited. Drew Tranquil.
Yep. I think that's all I got to say, too. Spags looks into the mirror when he had Ben Neiman and he sees Drew Tranquil.
How about Kirko? How about Kirko to the Falcons?
What about the Falcons? Oh,
Kirko to the Falcons, man. Look at that revamp. Kirko, Bijan, the Drake London, Pitts. And then I think they got Ray McCloud and they got another wide receiver. How about that group?
I'm not convinced Kirk Cousins is going to bounce back as well as they do. If we're being honest, I'm not saying he's not better, like a better lottery pick than having like Desmond Ridder on that team still.
Of course.
But I mean, 35.
Playoff team?
Say what?
Playoff team next year? Do you think they're a playoff team?
If only because the NFC South is so bad. Like, I could see them getting in at like 10-7, maybe 11-6, just because that division is so bad. But we got to see what happens with the draft picks. You know, like I joked yesterday, but it sounds like Kirk Cousins may have tattled on himself about the tampering. So
the ultimate Kirk Cousins, like, yes, I did tell a lie. I must tell the truth to be a good example for my two boys.
Yeah, right. I am bummed for Minnesota. It's bittersweet for Minnesota. I think he was so great. I think he was a lot like an Alex Smith for that franchise, you know, where it's like, you know, his ceiling. You know what's probably not going to happen, but he's just good enough. Like, if he just goes on a tear,
right?
Never happened. He really enjoyed being where he was. The fans loved him. But I do think now that kind of invisible glass ceiling or just like weight around their neck can be lifted now, where the ceiling of Kirk Cousins is no longer here. Sam Darnold's not going to be the guy, but you at least have hope now. Hope that like you bring someone else in and maybe now we get over the hump.
And with the NFC still kind of being the wild, wild west, I think we're starting to solidify the 49ers. Somehow the Eagles have like 4,000, you know, signings with a bajillion dollars. So they've solidified their group too. You know, the Lions coming in their own, the Packers coming in their own. There's still this little sneaky, the Falcons can kind of sneak in there in this wild, wild west group. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, Reese, I think that was a fun podcast. Stay tuned because we still have to find out what happens to Snead. We still have to talk about the draft. We still have to really get into it. So we'll have Sam Kiper Jr. on soon. And who knows? It's still free agency season. There still can be some things on the board. We didn't talk about the Mike Williams rumors to the Chiefs as well. So, man, we might have another emergency pod, but maybe we should have some luck on our side again. Maybe we should wait to do the podcast like at midnight on Thursday and then, you know, 12:01. The news drops. Randy Moss is coming back.
Oh my gosh. Randy Moss is coming to town. But hey, if you guys want, we haven't done this in a couple years. If you want the renaissance of the Drafts on Drafts live podcast, you got to let us know. Ooh, let us know now.
Yeah. Make sure you follow us. We did that on YouTube, right?
It was a live stream. Mm-hmm. Marathon.
Stay tuned for all those great things. Find us on social media, donate on Patreon, and let's do a nice let's go Chiefs on a 3-2-1. I think our lag is pretty good, or we don't have a lot of lag, so we can actually do it this time. So here we go.
We should do a let's go Chiefs on 3-2-1. I'm just kidding.
welcome to Fan City Sports Media. 3-2-1.
Let's go Chiefs. We'd like to thank you for joining us today on Fountain City Sports Media. This podcast is brought to you by listener support, so consider becoming a friend of the podcast. Check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/FCSM to gain access to premium content, including outtakes, bonus episodes, and exclusive beer reviews. Check out our website at fountaincitysportsmedia.com for more info on the podcast, social media, and of course, the goings-on in the beer industry. Special thanks to bands Carswell and Hope and Like a Tiger for providing our intro and outro themes. And as always, I'm Reese, and alongside my good friend Armando, we thank you for tuning in to Fountain City Sports Media.